The special favor of Allah, Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله ما شاء الله Viewers of Madrasa, welcome to this series of episodes yesterday, today and tomorrow. And in these series of programs, we're going to talk about the events of the past and hopefully learn something from yesterday so that we can make a change today and have a better tomorrow. Because as Muslims, one thing we've realized is that we have such a rich heritage. We have such a rich heritage. But unfortunately, I was going to say our youth, but in fact, majority of us are not aware of our rich heritage. We're not aware of our pious predecessors. We're not aware of the services to Islam that they rendered so that Islam is with us today. And because of that, these people of the past, they have no longer become our role models because we don't know anything about them. And inshallah, the intention of this series of programs is so that we can learn about their lives, learn about our pious predecessors, and also make a change today so we can have a better tomorrow. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam is reported to have said that the Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, has said, undoubtedly, your names along with your identity are presented to me. Therefore, recite excellent salat upon me, i.e. with the most beautiful words. Allahu Akbar. Recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Don't just recite it. Recite it with love. Recite it with devotion. And inshallah, by reciting with love and devotion, inshallah, you'll get the reward there. And we said it before that if we can make a routine in our life, allocate a time in our life, be it coming to work, be it going on for work, be it whilst you're waiting for something to happen, be it you're waiting for your next customer, whatever it is, during your day, allocate a certain amount of time. You got home from work, for example, you're just waiting for the food to be served, and then 4 or 5 minutes whilst you're waiting for the food to be served, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're sitting there, you're having a cup of tea, you're waiting for the cup of tea to cool down before you can drink it, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're waiting for things, don't waste that waiting time. And the best way to utilize that time is by sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows, as we said before, that one extra Durood-e Pak might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of the channel, in yesterday, today and tomorrow, we're going to talk about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Al-Sunnat, Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullah Ta'ala. So basically today we're going to scratch the surface on his services to Islamic knowledge, in particular his services to Islamic knowledge. Now on every one of these programs, we give a brief introduction to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, but maybe some of our viewers, it's the first time that they watch this program. So I just want to mention who is this person before we get actually into the topic. Ala Hazrat Imam Al-Sunnah, Mawlana Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullah Ta'ala. He was born in the town of Bareilly on Saturday, 10th of Shawwal in 1272 Al-Hijri, which corresponds to the 14th of June, 1856 at the time of Zuhur Salah. Ala Hazrat, Rahmatullah, he belonged to a Pathan family and he followed the Hanfi school of thought and he was a Qadri from the Qadri spiritual order. His father's name was Mawlana Nakhi Ali Khan, Rahmatullah Ta'ala. And his grandfather's name was Mawlana Raza Ali Khan, Rahmatullah Ta'ala. His birth name is Muhammad. His mother used to call him Aman Mia, and his respectable father and relatives called him Ahmad Mia. And his grandfather was the one that named him Ahmad Raza. And his historical name is Al-Mukhtar. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala used to write Abdul Mustafa before his name. And he used to write that as his name because he felt that he was a servant of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that in itself, if you put everything to a side, everything that we learn about Ala Hazrat, the fact that he gave himself this name, Abdul Mustafa, Allahu Akbar, that I am the servant, I am the slave of who? Al-Mustafa. And who is the Mustafa? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what he thought about himself, that he was so devoted to the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that again, that's another topic, and inshallah, in coming days, we're going to talk about the love that he had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But today, viewers of the channel, we want to talk about his services that he rendered with regards to the knowledge of Islam. And today, his legacy is such that when we look at certain books of knowledge, and if you go to any course where people are studying the scholarly courses of the Rasul, where people will study the deen, then they will refer to the books that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat wrote. And one particular book that he wrote, that I, inshallah, I believe, I hope, and I'm going to request every single viewer that please have a copy of this book in your house. Have a copy of this book in your house and read this book. Now you're thinking to yourself, what is this book? Before I mention what this book is, I'm going to give you a little bit of a story behind why this book was written. Allama Maulana Badruddin Qadri, rahmatullahi ta'ala, stated that Allama Maulana Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, felt the necessity for a correct and easy Urdu translation of the Holy Quran. Yes, I'm talking about the translation of the Holy Quran. So he mentioned its necessity. He politely requested Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala to do the translation. But Ala Hazrat, what he said, yeah, I will do it. But however, because he was being occupied with other religious work, the translation work kept on being delayed. It kept on being delayed and it kept on being delayed. And these people that were around him, they were worried that if Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala doesn't do it in his lifetime, if it's not done in the way that it should be done, then it may never be done. And at last, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala, he said to them, that look, I cannot spare time separately for this translation. I cannot just sit down and you do the translation of this Quran. Before I go on, viewers of my channel, you know, I remember speaking to Mufti Qasim, who's the Mufti of Dawat Islami, and he is the author of Tafsir Siratul Jinan. And when he was doing the Tafsir of that, he said that, look, I need to full concentration on this. It's what I need to be, you know, tunnel vision and tunnel focus on this project. And in this particular case, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he said, look, I haven't got time to do this translation. However, what I request you to do is come to me. You know, come to me whilst I'm doing other things. Come to me for a daily translation. Come to me in the night or before sleeping or in the afternoon. Come at these times and visit me. And when you dictate the Quran to me, and I will dictate the translation to you. So it wasn't as if Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, when the ayats were given to him, he would go away, read upon it, check on it, confirm it. He would just dictate. So the Arabic was given to him. The Quran was read out to him. And he would dictate the translation of the Quran. He was busy doing other tasks. Now this in itself is quite amazing, that he had the mental capacity to be able to concentrate on this whilst he was doing other things as well. And it said that once the translation was complete and they presented this translation to other scholars that had seen other translations of the Quran, they were amazed, they were shocked, they were amazed at how beautiful this translation was, that it had absolute conformity with all the other tafsirs of the Quran. It never went against any other hadith that people were aware of, and it was such a beautiful translation of the Holy Quran. Now this particular book, viewers of my channel, I request you, please have a copy in your house. Please have a copy in your house. And Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islam has also translated this into the English language as well, from the Urdu to the English. And this is available on our website, www.dawatislami.net. At the moment, it's not available in the book form, but I would request each and every one of you to get the book form if you can read Urdu. If you cannot, then download the English one and read it. Read it. And we're going to talk a little bit about this in a minute, but when you actually read it, you know, sometimes you listen to a kalam, yeah? And when you're listening to that kalam, the naat, then you start feeling the love coming inside you. The love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love for anything associated with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you read this translation of Ala Hazrat, not only is the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entering your heart, but also that spiritual enlightenment, that fear of Allah azza wa jalla, that awareness that Allah azza wa jalla is watching, all these things that need to be part of our tarbiyah are entered into us as you're reading this. And this is the amazing thing about it. Ala Hazrat was such a great translation of the subcontinent, who has translated the Holy Quran in such a way that its translation contains the true essence of the Quranic teachings. Surprisingly, the translation is literal as well as idiomatic at the same time. And this is one of the outstanding characteristics of the translation. Whilst dictating the translation, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala has effectively ensured that the translation is in conformity with the literal meaning of the words. And he chose that meaning amongst the various meanings of the word that maintains the connection between the previous and the next ayat. Which again is amazing, that you see people that when they do a translation, even when you're translating a normal letter, you're translating a letter, yeah? You're translating anything. When you translate it, then what will happen is you'll translate it straight away, and then you ponder over it for a while, because you think to yourself, you know what, I need to do a good job on this. So you look at the words, and you look at what words are better for this. And you may open up a thesaurus and look at what words are better for explaining something. And you look at the best words to insert in that. And you'll have an array of words to choose, and you'll say, no, I think this one suits this better, this one suits this better, but if I make this one, but it'll feel better, it'll look better. And you'll choose all these words. So sometimes, even when you can easily translate a sentence, it will take you a long time to choose the correct words to have the most effective meaning. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah, he had this amazing capability that he was able to translate it almost instantaneously. But not only translate it instantaneously, he translated it with such beautiful words that even nowadays people are reading that translation and they're amazed at the vocabulary and the words that he used. That was the grasp of the knowledge that he had. Views on the channel. The translation of the Quran reveals the Quranic facts and those hidden secrets of the knowledge of Ma'rif, which are generally not clear in other translations. One dominant characteristic of the translation done by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat is that he has effectively ensured that the respect, dignity, honor, and sanctity of the blessed Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are maintained wherever these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are mentioned in the glorious Quran. And the translation of Kanz ul Iman is a treasure of knowledge and a wisdom and strengthens the reader's faith. It also maintains a summary of blessed hadiths, sayings and practices of Sahaba, sayings of the Tabi Tabi'in, and the other authentic tafsir written by the pious predecessors. Indeed, viewers of the channel, people have said it's probably one of the best. It's one of the best translation. I think we can easily probably go a step further and say it is probably the best translation of the Quran into the Urdu language. And once again, I would humbly request you that please get a copy of this book in your house. Indeed, viewers of the channel, if we do not understand what our Creator wants from us, if we do not understand what has been brought down to us by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we do not understand what has been transmitted to us through 1400 years, through the hearts of people where they have memorized that Quran for 1400 years and preserved it in the exact words. This is again the miracle of the Quran, that the Quran is such that it's the only book that has been preserved for over 1400 years, right down to the exact word. This is the miracle of the Quran. But that miracle, if we don't understand that miracle, if we don't follow that miracle, if we don't act upon that miracle, then what is it? Viewers of the channel, we need to try and understand what our Creator wants from us. So we need to read the translations of the Quran. We need to understand what our Creator wants. And if we sit down as a family, viewers of the channel, this is something that I've mentioned before, and you probably heard it mentioned many, many times on Madani channel, that if as a family, sit down, three ayats of the Quran, three verses of the Quran, with translation and with commentary, read it on a daily basis, at least three. And better still, don't read it yourself. Sit down as a family, gather the family together. Yeah. And unfortunately nowadays that's another thing, and it's a separate chapter, I don't really want to go down that path. But families aren't sitting together now. We're all in our separate rooms, we've got our mobile phones, and we're checking our social media, we're checking our messages, and we're not talking to each other. Sit down as a family. Many, many benefits. One, the benefits of sitting down as a family. The love that will be, come together, sitting down as a family is one thing. But at the same time, sitting down as a family, today it's your turn, today it's your turn, today it's my turn, today it's your turn, today it's your turn, today it's my turn. Alternate the turns, read three verses of the Quran with translation and commentary. And inshallah, as you see a change. You know, one thought I want to leave you with, viewers of my channel. You know the people who study rocks and all different types of stones, the geologists they call them, yeah? They have said, and it's true, that when water drops on stone, then it makes a groove in the stone, or it makes a path in the stone, or even makes a hole in the stone. That if you had a stone, and a stone, what is a stone? A stone is hard, obviously. You hit someone with a stone, it's going to hurt them, yeah? If I was to throw a stone at you, I couldn't throw the camera, but if I could, it would hurt you. In the same way, viewers of my channel, that stone, when water drops on it, and what is water? If I could, like I said, I can't throw the stone through the camera, but if I was to throw water at you, would it hurt you? No, it wouldn't. You'd get a bit wet, but it wouldn't hurt you. But that water, when it drops on the stone every day, a drop at a time, a few drops at a time, slowly, 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 what will happen to that stone? A hole will be created in that stone. A groove will be created in that stone. A water will be created in that stone. Why? Because of the drops of the water can change that stone. If drops of a water can change a stone. If drops of a water can make a hole in a stone, if drops of a water can make a waterway in the stone, what can drops of Quran do to our hearts that are rusty with sins? Without doubt, a huge change can come about. But we need to read the Quran, viewers and listeners. The Quran should be the centerpiece of our house. Unfortunately, nowadays, the Quran is something that's put on the top shelf, is wrapped in a beautiful cloth, is taken down maybe in the month of Ramadan, even then not always. It's taken down in the month of Ramadan, or it's taken down when someone passes away. And we see in person's eyes that someone's passed away and everyone's looking at each other. Where's the Quran? Do you know where the Quran is? Oh, I don't know where it is. Do you know where it is? No, I don't know where it is. And they're looking for the Quran. And then what happens is they have to call the masjid. Can you bring some safari to our house? Can you bring the Quran to them? Because they can't find it in the house. Why can they not find it? Because they've not seen it. After the break, we're going to take a small break now. But after the break, I'm going to give you an incident that took place. And when I heard this incident, it put fear inside me. That is this what we are doing to the Quran? Is this the respect that we're giving to the Quran? And surely it should open our eyes. So please stay tuned, inshallah. We're going to go to the Kalam now. And after the Kalam, inshallah, I'm going to give you a few incidents that took place with regarding the Quran. And then inshallah, we'll carry on with our topic. And I'm hoping that, mashallah, our daily guest Shabazz Madani will join us as well. Let's go to the Kalam of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we'll give you these events that I just mentioned. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
مہمان مدینے والے دا 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 کوئی قسمت والا بندا اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوش بختاں تے سلطان مدینے والے دا کوئی قسمت والا بندا اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوش بختاں تے سلطان مدینے والے دا
سار چمن دی اے وچھڑے نو تا ملندی اے بلبل سار چمندی اے وچھڑے نو تا ملندی اے دل والے دل وچ رکھ دے نے دل والے دل وچ رکھ دے نے ارمان مدینے والے دا
کوئی قسمت والا بندا اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوش بختاں دے سلطان مدینے والے دا
سرکار دے منن تاریخ گواہی دیندی اے سرکار دے منن والے دی تاریخ گواہی دیندی اے کردا اے حکومت دنیا تے کردا اے حکومت دنیا تے دربان مدینے والے دا
کوئی قسمت والا بندا اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوش بختا دے سلطان مدینے
مسافر چلے نے سہنے دے مسافر چلے نے سہنے دیا یادا پلے نے سامان مدینے والے دا
کوئی قسمت والا بندا اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوش بختا سلطان مدینے والے دا
سینے وچ یاد مدینے دی بلا تے نام محمد دا سینے وچ یاد مدینے دی بلا تے نام محمد دا میرے تے ظہوری ڈاڈا اے میرے تے ظہوری ڈاڈا اے احسان مدینے والے دا
کوئی قسمت والا بندا اے مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوش بختا تے سلطان مدینے والے دا قسمت والا بندا اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوش بختا تے سلطان مدینے والے دا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of my channel, on yesterday, today and tomorrow, we're talking today about the services rendered to knowledge with regards to Sayyidi Ala Hadrat. And before the break, we were talking about, in particular, his translation of the Quran, Kanzul Iman. And two particular incidents that took place, nothing to do with Sayyidi Al-Azhar. I just want to mention to you that, you know, these two events, when I heard about them, one of them I had a personal experience of them, and the other one I was told the event. When I heard these, I was quite embarrassed. That is this how low we have gone with regard to the Quran? The first incident took place where one of the Mubaliks of Dawud Islami, he mentioned this incident. He said that someone had had a khatam in the house. And after, at the end of the khatam, when they were having the food and after the food and slowly the guests were leaving. And the last guest to leave was the Imam Sahib. The last guest to leave was the Imam. And what happened was when the Imam was ready to leave, the person got up and he went outside to make sure that, you know, because obviously our houses, there could be women passing by from the similar entrances. He made sure that the route was clear so that the Imam Sahib could leave. And he came and he said to Imam Sahib, yeah, it's okay, you can leave now. So the Imam Sahib left. When the Imam Sahib left, this person who was the host, whose house it was, he looked at the table. And he remembered that on the table he'd left some money. And that money had now gone. And the only person that could have possibly talked that was the Imam Sahib. And he's thinking to himself that the Imam Sahib took the money. Why would the Imam Sahib do that? He's not that sort of a person. But the fact of the matter was, I saw the money 2 minutes ago. The only person that was left in the room was the Imam Sahib, and that money's now gone. And he said that I stopped giving salam to that person, I stopped meeting that person. And he said a whole year passed, and a year later, when we had a khatam in our house, then the community kind of said, oh, you're not calling Imam Sahib, you should call Imam Sahib. So I felt obliged to call Imam Sahib to the khatam. And Imam Sahib came to the house. And I made sure that Imam Sahib stayed to the end because I wanted to speak to him. I thought, you know, for 1 year I've not said anything, I'm going to say something to him. And as everybody left, I said to Imam Sahib, I want to speak to you. And he said, yeah, what is it? He said, Imam Sahib, do you realize that for 1 year, I've not spoken to you, I've not given salam to you? He said, yes, I've realized. And I've been thinking that what have I done wrong that for 1 year you've not done anything? And he said, what it was, Imam Sahib, that 1 year ago, you were the last person to leave my house. And there was money on the table. And that money disappeared after you left. So you must have taken that money. The Imam Sahib started to cry. The Imam Sahib started to cry. And this person who was the host, he thought to himself that he is crying. Why? Because he's been found out. He's been found out that he's a thief. He's stolen the money. And he said, Imam Sahib, I didn't think you could do this. I didn't think you could do such a thing. And the Imam said, hold on a minute. I'm not crying because I took the money. I didn't take the money. I did not take the money. And the person said, well, so why are you crying? He said, when you left the room, the fan, that the rotating fans, you see these rotating fans? The rotating fan came and it blew the money off the table. And when the money blew off the table, I picked up the money and thought, where can I put it safe? Because the fan is rotating. So I opened the Quran that was on your shelf and I put it in the Quran. Meaning, brothers, that for 12 months that Quran Park had not been opened in the house. And when that person went to the shelf and pulled the Quran and he opened it on the first page, there was the money that had been put there by the Imam Sahib 12 months ago. Now, when I heard that event, a thing comes to mind. Is that happening in our houses now? Where is the Quran? Ask yourself, where is the Quran in your house? Which shelf is it on? When was the last time you opened it up? When was the last time you read it? Allahu Akbar. And if we are not reading the Quran, viewers of my channel, then something is going wrong. That is our prescription for life. That is our medicine for life. If we keep that, then inshallah, no illness will come near us. But the Quran, where is it? My way, the Sunnah, the Prophet of Allah, again, a completely another topic. But in both of these cases, we're so far away. I have another incident that I want to mention, but I don't want to take up so much time because, mashallah, Shabazz Madani, mashallah, is online. And inshallah, if I get time at the end, I'll mention it. But I think, whilst we've got our scholars online, then we should avail the opportunity of them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Medina, we're talking about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, but we're talking in specifically his services that he rendered to the knowledge of Islam. That, you know, and so far all I've mentioned is just one, the Quran, the Kanzul Iman, which I think if he had done nothing else, if Sayyidi Ala Hazrat had done absolutely nothing else in his life, then we would remember him just for that translation that he did. And if there's anything else that you wish to add with regards to any of his knowledges, services that he rendered to knowledge, then please, we are listening to you, inshallah.
Imam Ahli Sunnah, firstly, he's known as a Mujaddid. A Mujaddid. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam says that إن الله تعالى يبعث لهذه الأمة على رأس كل مئة سنة من يجدد لها دينها. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every 100 years, He sends somebody to revive the deen for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to revive the deen. That's generally what mujaddid means, somebody who revives something, meaning when over time something becomes affected by the people themselves. For example, let's take this example itself, Islam itself, the deen itself, the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. You will find all sorts of people who will add things, who will remove things. And this is not in reference to the Quran. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the Quran. Nobody can add or remove from the Quran. That's a separate matter. But it could be done from the ta'wilat, from the explanation of the glorious Quran, from the understanding of the glorious Quran. People will come up with all sorts of, you know, new theologies, all sorts of new concepts. And the deen requires somebody to rid it of all these sort of negative, all these wrong beliefs which are brought in by many individuals. And this is what Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Rida Khan Bareilly radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu had did. So first of all, yes, he is a mujaddid. Just this itself, you know, when we hear mujaddid, we think of, for example, Imam Jalaluddin Asiyuti, Imam Ghazari. We remember these big names. Sheikh Muhakkik Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi, Hazrat Alamgir radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So these are the sort of names we hear when we think of Mujaddid. Ala Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fisani, the famous Ala Hazrat radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was also a Mujaddid of his time. And this is not something which was a consensus of only the Indian subcontinent scholars, no, but rather the scholars of Sham, the scholars of Syria, the scholars of even Jazirat al-Arab itself, Makkah Sharif, Al-Madinat al-Munawwara, them scholars have also conceded, they've accepted that yes, Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a mujaddid. Now, mashallah, Khalid Bhai has already mentioned that Ala Hazrat, he wrote the translation of the glorious Quran. Undoubtedly, this was a great service to our deen, to our religion, to our Islamic sciences, just this translation of the Quran. Some people may be thinking, what tafsir did he write? As for a autonomous exegesis itself, a commentary itself, per se, meaning Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his books, he did explain many various verses of the glorious Quran. So it's not that he's never explained the glorious Quran, but in terms of the entire glorious Quran, a tafsir and exegesis, it is not known. Remember, there are many books of Ala Hazrat which have been lost, but it is not known that Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu has, but it doesn't mean he's not able. It doesn't mean he was incapable. One reason why, because we've mentioned many verses he's beautifully explained. But another reason, Khalid Bhai, it's mentioned that it was once the urs of a particular person, Shah Abdul Qadir, rahmatullah ta'ala. And Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu was requested to deliver a speech. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu delivered a speech for 6 hours on Surah Al-Duha. So this shows us that yes, he was able to. But Ala Hazrat, remember, he was a mujaddid. His objective was not just to provide material. It wasn't just to provide people with, to write lots of books. No. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a greater motive to protect the deen. To protect the deen. So he could have wrote a tafsir. No problem. You know, he's written Al-Fatawa Ridwiya Sharif. Al-Fatawa Ridwiya Sharif, possibly originally in 12 volumes, it's mentioned, with approximately 1,000 pages, but now it has been brought into 30 volumes. This is what he has written. 30 volumes, my dear viewers. It's not he wasn't able to. How many tafsir are 30 volumes? Not many. So he was definitely able to. But Ala Hazrat, and this, in fact, Khalid, by just him not doing this, does him not writing a tafsir, this itself shows his sincerity. Because when a person writes a tafsir, Khalid bhai, he's given this title, he's a mufassir. You know, it's something which shall remain amongst the people. Everybody shall be speaking about it. Wow, he's written a tafsir. It's a big thing. But it shows that Imam Ahl-Sunnah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wasn't enslaved by the opinion of the people. This is sadly what it is nowadays. We are enslaved by the opinions of the people. We wish for people to praise us, for people to say things about us. So Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one thing in terms of tafsir, the glorious Quran, you know, we mentioned he wrote the translation, and undoubtedly he was able to explain the glorious Quran. After the tafsir, the most important texts which we have received through transmission is those of the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to the ahadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the amount Imam Ahl-Sunnah radiallahu ta'ala anhu has done, Allahu Akbar, it is unbelievable. Imam Ahl-Sunnah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for their sake. Yes, he wrote books on Ahadith Sharif, he wrote books on Usul Ahadith Sharif. Inshallah, if I get the chance, I will come to those. But he not only compiled them, he also explained them. He not only explained them, but he extrapolated rulings from them. It's said in his works that he extrapolated rulings from 3,663 Ahadith Sharif. And the Takhrij was from over approximately 200 books. And it's easy to say this, but to, you know, to contemplate over it and then to comprehend it is another thing. Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we're talking about his service, the services he has rendered for the Ummah. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked a question, and this is one of his brilliances, one of his specialities. Whatever the question is, he would answer in the same language.
Allah.
The answers would be in the same language. And many a time, Khalid bhai, many a time, whenever he was asked a question and he would give an answer, the answer would become a treatise. It wouldn't just be a short answer, no. But his answers would be an entire book. You know, one person approached Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he says that, O Allah Hazrat, in Durood al-Taj, the famous Durood Sharif, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad, Sahib al-Taji wal-Mi'raji wal-Barak al-Alam, Dafi' al-Bala. That here it mentions the words Dafi' al-Bala, the one who expels, the one who removes. Bala means calamities. The one who removes calamities. He says, what evidence is there for this? That he removes all of these calamities. Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, He writes an entire book, Al-Amnu wal-Ula, li-na'atil Mustafa, bi-dafi'il bala. He writes this entire treatise, this entire book. Within that book, he mentions 300 ahadith sharif. When proving that, yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does expel difficulties and he removes hardships, calamities from a person.
It's amazing what you're telling us here, Shabazz bhai, honestly. And I'm hoping that, I mean, one of the main purposes of doing these programs, Shabazz bhai, was that people, you know, that people like yourself generate some thirst in our viewers to go out and find more. Because obviously, like you've rightly said on previous programs, that we're just literally scratching the surface and mentioning just a few of his books. And if I was to say to you to name all of his books, you probably couldn't do that. But that just shows you that there is so much out there that we need to find out about and learn about. And I'm hoping that through your words that you're giving us today, Shabazz bhai, that you're generating that thirst in our viewers to go out and find more.
I can say that, alhamdulillah, many of these books, many of these works have been translated. There's one message I would like to give out, Khalid bhai. A lot of us, we think, and I used to think this too. I remember we were saying to Mufti Qasim Sahib, Mufti Qasim Sahib used to say to us, you know, you need to do more mutala, you need to do a lot more reading. And we used to say, look, we can hardly read Arabic with our beginning years. Even now, how good are we at Arabic? But generally, we can't read Urdu. And Mufti Qasim Sahib said to us at that time, he said, there are so many works out there. There's so many translations out there. You know, do you know books, Khalid bhai, you wouldn't imagine? They were translated over 100 years ago in this country. So it's not that there is a lack of material, no. It's our lack of research. If we wished, we could go out and find that material. Really. And books like this, Ad-Dawlat al-Makkiyah. Another very, very famous book, a very important book written by Ala Hazrat on Ilmi Ghaib, Bil Madad al-Ghaibiyah. And this is one of the brilliances of Ala Hazrat, in that every single book he writes, the title, which is in Arabic, it has two parts to it, and they both rhyme. So, Ad-Dawlat al-Makkiyah Bil Madad al-Ghaibiyah. This was one thing. In fact, if you were to look, it said there's four specialities. One, that his books, the title's in Arabic. Second, that it has two parts to the book, which rhyme, as we just mentioned. Thirdly, that his books, they, within the title, you understand the inside is like an introduction. What is the book about? So just from the title itself, you understand what the book's about. This is the third specialty. And the fourth, Khalid Bhai, now, whenever we look back at books, these, especially for historians, people who are analysts, people who are analyzing books, it is very, very important to know when the books were written. During a person's lifetime, when was it written? Was it written during his beginning? Some people decide to write a book very, very early. Others also change their ways. Sometimes they retract one statement and they change the statement. So the question is, which book was written first? Was it his opinion on this, or was it when he changed his opinion? Because if you've gotten the wrong way around, then there's a problem, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's also very, very important, yes, to know when the book was written. Now, another speciality, just because we came to this, the specialities of the books of Ala Hazrat, the fourth speciality is that every single one of his books, just by looking at the title, not just by looking, by analyzing the title, you can also determine which year it was written.
Allah.
And this is by what is known as the Ilmi Abjad, that each and every single letter is called Abjad because Alif equates to number one, Ba to two, Jim to three, Dal to four, and then Havviz, etc. So then Haz five, and it goes on and on. So if you are to take these letters, identify which letter it is, and also the number it equates to, and you are to add all of these up, then you would be able to determine in which year the book is written to.
May Allah Azza wa Jalla, Jazakallah Shabazz Bhai, and hopefully we can take more of your time and take some more Madri prayers for you. Jazakallah Shabazz Bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And normally this at this time of the day, what happens is after we have our guest Shabazz Bhai, we normally go to a small break. But I just want to pause there for a few moments for you, Azam al-Chan, that mashallah, you listened to the words that Shabazz Madani was giving us there. And I was like, I could have carried on listening for hours and hours and hours, because, you know, when you know, this is why people say to you, sit with the scholars. When you sit with a scholar of the deen, you realize how little you know, how incomplete you are. And so, you know, I'm not a scholar. You know, I can just talk a little bit and I can talk in front of you. But, you know, when you sit with the scholars, the likes of Shabazz Madani and all these other scholars, you can learn so much. And within, what was he? I think maybe 15 minutes. 15 minutes, he mentioned so much to us and so much knowledge to us. And it makes you think that fortunate are those who can become the scholars of the deen. And if you cannot be fortunate enough to become a scholar of the deen, then fortunate are those who can sit with the scholars of the deen. So I would advise all of you that either become a scholar or try and make someone a scholar. Or if not, then at least sit with scholars. You know, and if you cannot become a scholar, then think to yourself that Shabazz Madani, mashallah, he was here today. If it had been somebody who'd encouraged him to become a scholar. Here near to here where we are here, there's a Jamiatul Madina in Rochdale. I remember the teacher that's there that he graduated a couple of years ago. And I thought to myself that somebody, you know, did individual effort on him. Someone convinced him to join Jamiatul Madina. He went and joined Jamiatul Madina. He's become a scholar now. He's a teacher. And he's passing on this sacred knowledge to others as well. And it's all because of the efforts of that individual. So if either, I humbly request you, either become a scholar, try to become a scholar. It's not an easy path. I'm not saying it's easy. No, it's very, very hard. To become a scholar is not something that you can do overnight. It'll take, you know, a huge amount of work, a huge amount of sacrifice. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward all of those scholars that have sacrificed their lives to become the scholars of the deen. But at the same time, if you cannot do that, then try and convince others to become scholars. And if you cannot do that, then at least, and at the same time, at least and sit with the scholars, take the benefits from the scholars, because these are the people that hold on this as sacred knowledge of the past, and they make us realize, viewers of the channel, what rich heritage we have, what knowledge we have that's got there. And I'll be honest with you, just listening to Shabazz Medina there for 5 minutes, it's generated a thirst in me that I want to go away and I want to find these books and I want to read these books. I've got some of them books, but he's generated more a thirst in me that there is more there. Go away, find it and read it. And I pray that if nothing else comes of today's program, then that thirst for acquiring the knowledge through the teachings of Sayyidi Al-Hazrat, if we've achieved that today, then I feel that we've achieved something. We're going to take a small break now and go to a small package. Inshallah, when we come back, not a lot of time will be left, but we'll quickly mention some of the other achievements that Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala made with the services to the knowledge of Islam. Let's go to the small break. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
People who excel in a particular field are often called geniuses. Why? Because they have an exceptional intellectual ability, creative power, and natural ability in a particular field. Rare is it to have a personality who masters two or three fields. Now, those are often called geniuses, but let me define for you what a real genius. What amazes me about Al-Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman is that he mastered so many fields. In fact, every field he turned to, he became a master in. If that was the Quran, the art of translation, the tafsir of the glorious Quran, principles of tafsir, master of tajweed, master of hadith, principles of hadith, studying the encyclopedia of hadith, Islamic jurisprudence, Islamic theology, dialects, syntax, Arabic grammar, rhetoric, phonetics, Urdu, Arabic, Persian, Hindi, explanations, criticisms, appreciations of text, metaphysics, invocations, ethics, logic, psychology, sociology, economics, education, political science, commerce, banking, astrology, astronomy, statistics, hydrodynamics, zoology, botany, medicine, chemistry, and many, many more fields. Truly, this person was somebody remarkable. He was absolutely amazing because every field he turned to, he showed his brilliance, his intellect, his intelligence, his talent shone forth. His cleverness was there to be seen and admired for over 100 years. We are truly privileged to be the students of Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman, who has left such a beautiful and brilliant legacy that it is unmatched in the last 100 years. Aglu nabi likha hai bahut ilme deen par jo kuch bhi is sadi mein hai wo tanha raza ka hai.
Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Viewers of my channel, you're watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow, and mashallah Harun Atari, the mashallah, is a barrister and mubalik of Dawud. I mean, he was explaining just some of the knowledge, some of the classes of knowledge that Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala had. And before the break, we were talking to Shabazz Madri, who, again, you could say he spoke a lot and he gave us a lot of knowledge, but I think he will also agree with me that although he mentioned so many books, he mentioned so many of the attributes with regards to the knowledge that Sayyidi Al-Hazrat has rendered to the services of Islam. But there's one thing I want to mention earlier, and I mentioned the Quran, viewers of my channel. And I want you to mention an incident that took place, and I want to share this incident with you. Alhamdulillah, viewers of my channel, Dawud Islami here in the UK as well as abroad is active working in the jails as well. And I had the opportunity to go into the jails and meet the Muslims there. And we used to have study circles there and teach things there. And I remember there was one jail that I used to go to, and we were given a room where we used to sit down. And I used to sit down at the table. We never forced anybody to sit with us. And there was a cupboard. And in this cupboard, there was books, there was DVDs. There was all sorts of things in there. Copies of the Quran and Park in there as well. And we'd have a table and the people would sit around with me. And we'd teach them things. We'd teach them wuzu, we'd teach them the namaz. They'd ask questions and we'd try and explain things to them. Or in some cases, really, they just needed somebody to talk to. And what had happened was the chaplain, they'd give me the key to the room and they'd give me the key to the cupboard. And one day I went there. And the chaplain staff there, they said to me, what do you do when you go into the room? And I said, what do you mean? And they said, explain to us exactly what you do when you go into the room. And I felt like I was being interrogated. I said, look, I go into the room and I open the cupboard and I sit down. I take a book out of the cupboard. I sit down and people sit down with me and we go through and explain the book. And he said, is that what you do? And I said, yes. He said, in future, go in the room, open the cupboard, take out what you want, and lock the cupboard. If anybody wants out anything out of the cupboard, go to the cupboard, unlock the cupboard, see them, take it out, and lock it. Don't let them put anything in the cupboard without your knowledge. Don't let them take anything out of the cupboard without your knowledge. And I said, why are you saying this? And what they said to me angered me and upset me. They said to me that we've been suspicious that there are drugs inside the jail. So we sent the sniffer dogs out to find out where these drugs were kept. And we found them in various places. But one of the places where we found that these drugs were being hidden and stored was inside the copies of the Quran in that cupboard. So whilst you were leaving the cupboard unlocked, they were stashing the drugs inside the Qurans. You know, I can't even say to you now how I felt that day. You know, it was everything all rolled into all anger, sadness, upset. I really didn't know what to say. And you know, when I was going in that room, you start looking at everybody and think, was it him? And you think, look, you can't do this. You don't know who it was, so don't think like this. But is that how low we've gone? Is that how low that we've gone? Like the incident that I mentioned before, that a Quran Park is in our shelves for a full year and we don't even know, we don't even open it? Or is that how low we've gone that we use the Quran Park to hide things in there because nobody's going to open it and look in it? And not only that, we hide drugs inside the Quran Park. Is that how low we've come? Is that what's happened to us viewers in Munchal? And that's something where we need to reflect on. And today, we were talking about the services rendered with regards to Islamic knowledge by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. But again, you know, this topic has just sprung to my mind that we need to be, you know, wary of this as well. That whatever our rich heritage we have, that the Quran has been preserved, that these books have been preserved, that we respect them, that we don't misuse them, we don't trample them, that when we leave the Quran on the shelf for 12 months, if not longer, you know, it's wrapped in a beautiful cloth and we'll take it down, kiss it, open it up, read a page and put it back and then leave it there for another 12 months. Is this, you know, the respect that we have for the Quran? We spend more time on this than we read the Quran. Viewers of the channel, I do apologize. Time is getting the better of me and there's so much more that I wanted to mention with regards to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. Shabazz Madani touched on just some of the books. He mentioned Fatawa Razviya, that is numerous books, and it's 30 volumes of books. And again, a lot of the books, I just want to say one thing, viewers of my channel, that a lot of the books that Shabazz Madani mentioned and Fatawa Razviya that I mentioned as well, is these are books that, yes, we can have in our house, but these are sort of books that you actually need teachers to help you and guide you in reading these books. You know, so attach yourself again to the scholars, read these books by all means, but read them with the scholars and get the guidance from them. This is how rich heritage views them, inshallah. This is what has been brought to us. This is what's been preserved to us by the people of the past. This is what's coming to us from yesterday to today. Let's utilize it today to make a better tomorrow. You've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Ali Allah. The universe is the body and its soul.